Oh my God. Just over 24 hours until the new episode premieres. I know I'm coming at you late. Again, shit came up. Busy week. Can't help it. But oh my God, this episode was wild. Do we think that they are the killer? That the killer was revealed? Because in seasons 1 and 2, episode 9, the killer was very clearly revealed. It would make sense. But I'll do my theory at the end. But let's just dive right in. Welcome everyone to Something About, a podcast where we are currently covering the new season, the third season of Only Murders in the Building. All episodes for all seasons are available on Hulu, hashtag not sponsored. So, if you're not caught up, you could probably do it in 24 hours. The episodes are just over half hours long, 10 episodes each. That's 5 hours. So that's 10 hours. So it'd be about 15 hours for you to catch up. You could do it. You could do it. I believe in you. But if you're not going to, welcome. It's going to be a confusing, wild ride. And again, let's just dive right in. We are on episode 9, titled 30. We hear Mabel. When I was 10, my future looked so clear to me. Mabel is waking up in kind of a fog, and it looks like she's in a hospital. Married to Josh Hartnett with 2 kids, driving a Honda Odyssey. Not a bad life. Why a Honda Odyssey? I don't know. She's looking at her hospital bracelet, and she's just confused. And then we see a doctor telling her she has another one coming and to push. And again, Mabel is very confused. She's asking, what's happening? What's going on? She came there to visit one of her friends who had a heart attack. The doctor's telling her, you did great with the first two. You're having triplets. Keep that in mind. She's like, triplets? And she pops out the third one, and it's a microphone. And the other two, and this was very disturbing. They were babies with the current heads of Oliver and Charles, and they're crying. And they're all wrapped in like the death rattle hanky fabric that they all received. And we hear Mabel say, "But here's the thing about childhood fantasies. They almost never come true." The doctor congratulates her. It's a podcast. Oliver is waking her up. She's fallen asleep at like his bedside. He's been in the hospital for about 5 days, and the doctor says he's in pretty good shape to go home. And Mabel questions the doctor's call, like, it's only been 5 days. He had a heart attack. You had to put a stent in his creaky artery. And Oliver's like, not creaky. The doctor that's telling her this is the same one in like her dream that she had. And he goes on to say, like, he opens in 2 days and he needs to get back to a show and to get his leading lady out of jail. The doctor goes on to tell him, yeah, his body received the stent well. And they all seem scared for you. And Charles is like, I wasn't scared. And Oliver looks to Charles and go and pretty much says, "Oh, I pretended, to be unconscious, but all I could hear was you wailing. I can't let him go. Come back to me, you sweet son of a bitch." They love each other. They have a very, I don't want to say cat and mouse relationship, snarky relationship. But then, they both love Mabel. And Charles is like, "Well, the nurses want to keep me around. They want me to do a performance for them. They're his fans." And Oliver looks to Charles and goes, "Admit it. You're obsessed with me." We're now back in Charles's apartment, and they're in front of their big murder board, and they're trying to rule out Loretta. She made up confessing to protect her son, Dickie. And now they need to prove that Dickie is either the killer to get her out, or maybe he's not the killer at all. And Charles goes on to say, well, she's been in jail now for a few days. Wonder if she shaved her head yet and got all jacked. And Charles goes on to say, like, not Charles, Oliver goes on to say he can't let Loretta take the fall for this. It's, you know, she's the love of my life. And Mabel is shocked, like, love? I thought you two were just hooking up. And Oliver goes on to say, like, oh, we were hooking up big time. Up, down, every which direction. And Mabel's like, okay, gross. And he also goes on to say he will get her home no matter how many face tattoos she has. That's love. Oliver asks about, like, the interrogations, and they admitted that we hadn't watched any of them because they were waiting for Oliver to get better. And he looks at both Mabel and Charles and goes, oh, softies. And they look at Dickie and they're like, well, Loretta thinks he's guilty. That's why she confessed to protect him. And, you know, obviously he was poisoned and then pushed down an elevator shaft. And they just need to figure out whose hanky he was holding. And they also need to figure out who wrote fucking pig on his mirror. And they do have the footage of Ben talking to someone, very heated. And they need to figure out who this person is. Maybe it's a lover. We don't know. Oliver tells them, you know, we need to take a beat and appreciate just how magical this moment is. They're reunited at last. And he suggests that Mabel takes the lead on recording the episode because she never gave up. Oliver suggests that Mabel takes the lead in like this next episode. And he goes, oh my God, the besties are back. That should be the opening line. And Charles is like, well, maybe Mabel should like make that call. And, you know, also suggests how he nearly escaped death and now he won't let him go to live. And he says that to Charles. And, you know, go crying to each other. And Mabel's like, this is fucking weird. So Mabel takes the lead in recording the podcast. The opening line. The besties are back. It may take two to tango, but it takes three to solve a murder of an ill-fated movie star. We welcome a brand new episode of Only Murders in the Building. Opening credits. Now, they're off to go see Dickie, and they're going to have to try to figure out how to question him without spilling the beans that Loretta is his birth mother. And it's not their place to tell him, so it's just going to be kind of difficult because, as you and I can guess, it would be Charles or Oliver that would spill the beans on that one. They go to leave Charles's apartment, and it's got a bunch of packages at his door, and there's one to Oliver. And Charles is like, does the doorman not know you're here? And Oliver pokes fun at Lester, the doorman, and says he must not realize, you know, he's back from the hospital, geriatric. And Charles points out that, Oliver, you're 6 months older than him. So you're both geriatric. The package is from Donna. It says, get well soon and find me a new leading lady. Charles had received like a fairly good sized package. It was Joy's wedding dress. It was her mother's. She had it made to fit her. And they're both in shock. Apparently both her mother and father are still alive. And she was going to walk down the aisle with them while she was holding her childhood dog. Take that in, her childhood dog. I'm wondering if the dog was stuffed, like, but not alive. I don't know. They're now at Oliver's apartment, and they're going to question Dickie. Dickie admits he never saw Loretta coming, and, you know, they also go on to tell him they thought he did it. And he was like, what? Why? And they go on to say, well, we knew Ben stole Cobro from you, and that, you know, like, you're resentful from it. And he's like, yeah, I was resentful. And yeah, I covered things up like his blood work because I knew he wouldn't want what they found in his blood to come out to the press, which meant they never knew about the poison. They believed him. And then they asked him, like, well, where were you when Ben was pushed then? Like, if you didn't poison him, where were you? He said he had left the party early when Ben had come back because he was freaking the fuck out, as one would. He went and he got wasted and he went to put on Ben's Cobro suit. And then he went to go look for drugs and whores. And they were like, what? And he goes on to tell them every Thursday, Ben would disappear for a few hours. And he would say, snitches get stitches. But he did track his phone and he saw that it led him to a place off Broadway between 35th and 36th. And he assumed that's where Ben had sex with his five whores. And what was also weird was that, you know, he saved five seats for them. And their names were Trixie, Marigold, Emerald, Dot, and Maymay. And he goes to show them this footage of Dickie outside of the place where Ben would, you know, meet his five whores. And he told him he was yelling him to bring them out. But he ended up just kind of falling asleep and woke up the next morning and a dog peed on him. Well, he was hoping a dog peed on him. I'm going to hope for his sake, too, a dog peed on him. So there's some proof to show that he wasn't there when Ben was pushed from the elevator. The cops got the footage, but they can't fully use it as an alibi since you can't see like a clear picture of Ben's face. And I mean, not Ben's face, of Dickie's face. And he's also grateful that there isn't audio. And Dickie just can't believe that Loretta did it. And the other three agree. And then Dickie's like, well, then why would she confess? And then Dickie questions, well, if the killer's still out there, I should probably call my lawyer. So he's off to make a phone call. And Mabel is now just throwing out the questions if Dickie didn't do it, but Loretta confessed for him, then someone else has done it. And they need to get to her to let her know that, you know, Dickie didn't do it. We have proof. That way she can take back her confession, but her arraignment is at 5 p.m., so they gotta work real quick if they want to get this done. And they just need to figure out, you know, what Ben was doing and who he was with. And the only way to do that is to go to Broadway and 35th. And, you know, Oliver mentions you can't just go into a brothel without a reservation. Mabel and Charles look at him, kind of questioning him, like, how would you know that? We now see him on the street, and they're walking towards their destination. Oliver says, you know, they'll never question you if you're carrying a ladder. You know, you're important if you're carrying a ladder. And Charles also points out, you're also in orthopedic shoes. So, I don't know how well that's going to work. And you're also dressed like a leprechaun. Though Charles takes that last one in stride a bit, like, oh, well, thank you. Snitches Get Stitches is a fabric shop. And Oliver goes on to say, no, it's a brothel. They like to use puns for it, and it's a front. And then Charles throws in, well, if your ladder thing doesn't work, I can always cry, because no one says no to a crying man. And then he goes on to tell a story about in one episode of Brazos, he cried. And after that episode premiered, he had received the most fan letter he's ever received in his life, and it was all from men. And he asked him, do you know why? And Mabel goes, because you had connected with their inner feelings. And Charles is like, yeah. They walk into the shop, and they tell the gentleman behind the counter, they're there to change a light bulb. We know what's going on out back. Wink, wink. And the gentleman tells him, nothing's going on out back, and you can't go back there. So Charles tries to cry, and it's very uncomfortable for everyone involved, including him. It looks more like he has to use the restroom than anything. And the gentleman behind the counter goes, do you need a restroom? There's one out back. They head out back. And what do they come across out back? Five women sewing. And they ask him, like, who are you? Did you know Ben? And they go, oh, Benny. And they're really sad. And they had a sewing circle every Thursday. So that's where he was every Thursday. He told them that sewing kept him off all those dangerous street drugs. And, you know, they really miss him. And they were trying to get to go see him Saturday night. Or not Saturday night. They tried to get to go see him opening night. And the night prior, they had stayed up all night to help him sew those lovely hankies for everyone. And while they were sewing, they were running lines. And, you know, the hankies to him were a special personal gift. And he treated a lot of the people on set like a steaming pile of cow manure. And he was able to finish just in time. And then they, Trixie picks up her phone and plays a voicemail she had received from Ben. And he really wanted them there and he needed them. And they were just really sad. So that ruled out he was with five whores. And they go to leave. Oliver gives him the ladder and he apologizes to them for calling them whores. And Trixie said, no, that's all right. I used to be one. And Oliver does his little snort and just kind of walks away. So now they need to figure out what happened between him leaving the voicemail and, you know, all that. And there's about a 30-minute gap. And then they also have to think, you know, was someone after him because of the mysterious person in his dressing room? Charles brings out a whiteboard and mentions, well, we have those interrogation videos we have not watched. And he's drawn a line with slashes, you know, to fill in the timeline and the gaps. Williams talked to everyone who crossed paths with Ben that night, and this is going to represent the 30 minutes, and we're going to watch it, and we're going to put it all together. And Oliver commends Charles for his new idea. It had been about 6 months since his last one, so he knew he was due for a new one. And Charles is like, what? He goes, yes, your last suggestion was going halvesies on the New Yorker digital subscription. And Charles looks at Oliver and is like, that was your idea. He goes, well, you owe me $32 and I'm keeping the tote. The first interrogation that is up is Katie. She goes on to say all the actors had to be there 30 minutes before the curtains went up. Not 29, not 28, 30 minutes. Ben was late as usual, but he had his gifts in hands. She yells at him to go get into costume, and they are trio, Charles or Oliver mentions how, you know, she's a real mood killer, and, you know, her tone, she's kind of got an awful tone. Cliff is next. He saw Ben after Katie, and he heard KT yelling at Ben, and he also mentions her tone and how he too is not a fan of it. He offers Ben a schmackery cookie. His mom special ordered them for him, and they have a rattle on them. And Ben mentions how, like, no, I'm fasting. I cannot eat anything, but wait, let me smell it. And he smells a cookie and he just takes it all in. You know that feeling where, like, you don't want to eat something? Not that you can't, but you don't want to eat something. You're like, well, maybe if I smell it, it'll, you know, get rid of the craving or the wanting of it. And then Ben asks Cliff, you know, to check on his five special guests to see if they're there yet. And our trio did not know that Ben was fasting. That was a new thing. Dickie is up next, and he tells Williams that he was furious with Ben and how come he could show up late to his own show on opening night. And there was always something up with him. And he goes on to tell Williams that Loretta encouraged him to leave Ben. And while all these people are being interrogated by Williams, Mabel, Oliver, and Charles are going back to the night of Ben's death. And they're kind of inputted into the scene and watching it play around them. So it's flashing back to the night of Ben's death. And we're seeing everything get acted out as it happened accordingly. And they're, again, just taking it in. He goes on to say Loretta encouraged him to leave Ben. And we get a flashback of her talking to him on the stage during rehearsal. And she's telling him he deserves so much better. And how are, you know, like, he's itching his arm. Like, have you, what are those? And have you tried the cortisone cream? They're stress hives. Dickie likes to call them Benny bites because Benny gives him the stress hives. And after that, you know, they're sitting in the audience as this is all playing out. And Mabel goes, how did they miss, you know, that she was his mom? And Charles looks like she's about to give him a bottle. And then Oliver is just looking so lovingly at Loretta and goes, doesn't she look pretty? And then we're back with Loretta and Dickie. And she asks him if he made a list of bullet points, because those always help her when making decisions. And then Ben shows up whilst in the midst of this. And he takes the list, like, ooh, passing notes. Ooh. Loretta kind of storms off, you know, because he's being a real dick. And Ben reads it and he sees it, what it is, and he asks Dickie if he's quitting. And Ben is mad, you know, rightfully so. She's driving a wedge between the brothers, and, you know, It's causing Dickie strife with just everything that's going on. And Ben tells Dickie, you know, you're a lousy brother and a lousy manager. Like, yeah, Cobra was yours, but I made Cobra. Like, I am Cobra. And he goes, wait, no, you're no bro. And seemingly it's almost like they broke up. Next is Howard. And he goes on to tell Williams about how he was going to go into Katie's office and get the broom to do the pre-performance sweep. But the door was locked and he heard that creepy noise coming from the shredder. Mabel pauses and goes, oh, wait, I should text on Howard to, you know, see where he's at with piecing together the paper. And as she does, he's about to finish and a gust of wind blows through the window and just fucks it all up and he's just so excited about it. Next, we see Ben and Loretta rehearsing the lighthouse scene. And they call it the Fight Club rehearsal because it's what led to a fight. And now we see Loretta being interrogated. And she says Ben was accusing her of trying to steal Dickie away. I think he was half right. I think she was trying to get Dickie away from Ben, but also maybe just show Dickie you don't need him as well. And this was moments after, you know, he learned Dickie was quitting, was the fight between them on the lighthouse. And then it turned into a real fight over Dickie. And that's when Charles comes in and tries to break it off and punches Ben in the face. And then after, Joy touches up Ben's face and leaves behind her lipstick. And they're all writing this on the board as this goes down. And they're still in shock that Charles punched Ben in the face. And then after, Donna was seen with Ben talking to her son. Or no, Donna is talking to Ben after talking to Cliff. She tells Ben, this show needs to be a hit. And he gets, you know, confirmation that his guests aren't there yet. They're stuck in traffic from the UN building. And Cliff goes on to say, like, oh, the UN, I'm not going to support anything until there are no problems, which is like the point of the UN. It goes on to mention the fight with Loretta and Charles. And she tells Ben to do whatever he needs to do to be nice to Ben. She's telling Ben, giving him a pep talk, kind of, to be nice to himself. And then as he's entering his dressing room, Tobert shows up to film the bit that we saw on the camera from a previous episode. And he's like, what are you doing here? And Tobert's like, you paid me to be here. You want me to film? And Ben's like, what am I, some zoo animal? And Tobert was like, well, what do you want me to do? And Ben seemingly like fires him in that moment. And he, you know, takes the camera, puts it down in his dressing room. Again, he's talking to what looks like someone, dead end. And that was it. They didn't know where the rest of this went. And Charles goes on to say, like, I told Ben, I know what you did, but like, I didn't have the whole picture. His brother was leaving him. I punched him. He was fasting. His guests weren't there. He was up all night. Ben just needed a hanky to cry in. And Charles then tries to cry again. And it's not really working. Again, he looks very uncomfortable. And in that little pocket of time, Ben was poisoned. And they're just trying to figure out who he was talking to, because most likely it would be that person. You know, and if they don't figure out who it is, Loretta won't be getting out. And Charles is trying to cry at the thought of drawing her wedding dress. But that's not working. And, you know, she's with Bakula now. And Oliver asks Scott or Jeff. And Charles goes, Scott, who's Jeff? And Mabel goes on to say, you know, like, you think both of you have it worse? It's worse for me. You know, I don't have my life figured out yet. We haven't cracked the case. I don't have a place to live. And she pulls out this old MASH from when she was a kid. And it told her her future. By the time she was 30, she was gonna, you know, be driving a Honda, be married to Josh Hartnett, have two kids. And, you know, this is perfect timing because she told her mother to mail this to her when she was 30. And that happened to be today. And Charles and Oliver are like, wait, what? Today's your birthday? And this is what you're doing? And she reassures them that there's nothing she'd rather be doing than spending it with Oliver and Charles and like, aw. And if 10-year-old Mabel were there, she'd be horrified at what is happening. But 10-year-old Mabel also shopped at Wet Seal. So 10-year-old Mabel has nothing on her. Howard shows up. He's solved the shredded paper. Oliver, you know, takes it from Howard and he reads like three words. He knew exactly what it was. It was Maxine's review from the night of the show. And he knew that because he only needed to see two words. Didn't sing. It also goes on to say Ben was the weak link. Wooden as the show he's standing on. And, you know, if they got rid of Ben, would the play be saved? And they go on to say a lot of careers were riding on this play. Motive. Oliver is just up in arms. He needs something to eat. He asks Charles, do you have any, like, dip? And Charles is like, yeah, we have, there's Norwegian red herring dip in the fridge. So Oliver runs off to get it. And he asks Mabel if in the review it mentions anything about his performance, and she went, no. And he goes to look, and Mabel's like, no, it's fine, it's nothing. And Oliver comes back, and he's got a candle in the dip, and he starts singing Happy Birthday, and Charles joins, and, you know, she blows out the candle, and they sit down and kind of just, it feels good to be in this moment with her guys. And Oliver is talking dirty to the dip, and Mabel's looking disgusted, so is Charles. But Mabel tells Oliver to keep doing it because something, it's triggering something in Mabel, and she knows who Ben was talking to. So we now see footage of him in his dressing room, and our trio is in the dressing room with him watching this all unfold. He is talking to himself and to the cookie. He sees the cookie in his dressing room. And he says, you know, I know you're bad, but I want it so bad. It could ruin his career, but he'd also like it. He smells the cookie and then he eats it, and he like shoves the whole thing in his mouth, and he's moaning and he enjoys it. It's very sexual. But then he looks into the mirror and he's yelling at himself. And he's calling himself a fucking pig. You know, you're going to ruin everything. And he picks up Joy's lipstick and he writes on his own mirror, fucking pig, and then draws a little piggy. And he starts making piggy noises, which makes me think that somehow he knew Loretta prior because she made the piggy noises on her date with Oliver. And then he, you know, downward spirals and he's crying and he picks up the phone to call Trixie and the ladies and he's recording the voicemail and you hear Oliver knocking in the background like, you know, we all have pre-show jitters. I can help you. And it goes on to say if the last 30 minutes weren't so bad, maybe he wouldn't have spiraled. And Oliver goes on to say, like, Donna mentioned to him to not be like Wood, which is the same thing that was written in the review that Oliver read. And this being Cliff's first play, if it got ruined, it could ruin Cliff's whole career. So they're slowly piecing things together. And now we see Donna in Katie's office shredding the paper. And we see her worried, and she looks up, and she sees the rat poison. She sees the cookie in front of her. We see her sprinkling rat poison on top of the cookie. She goes to leave it in his dressing room. And she sets Ben off just enough, knowing he will spiral and eat the cookie. Mabel is now going over everything they have figured out. The motive would be the review that Maxine has written. The murder weapon, the cookie with the poison, and then the push down the elevator shaft. And, you know, she was able to go in and out all night. No one would have ever, you know, bat an eye at her. And now it's time to go get Loretta. You know, her arraignment is in 20 minutes. And how are they going to get in? They don't know how they're going to get in. Mabel has an idea. And she looks to Joy's dress and goes, nobody stops a bride. And we now see him running out of the Arconia. And she's like, why are you both in tuxes? And they're like, we never turn down a chance to wear our tuxes. We now hear Mabel say, Want to know what I wished for over that birthday candle stuck into a tub of dip? You're looking at it. Me with my two besties doing murder stuff. We now see the three of them rushing into the courthouse. Not a bad life. They get stopped by the police officer outside of the room that, you know, a letters arrangement should be taking place in. And she asks them, do you have an appointment? And Mabel's like, it's my wedding day. And the cop questions her, like, with these two guys? She's like, yeah, they're my dads. And Charles and Oliver kind of look at each other and go, yeah, fathers of the bride, which I loved. Loved that very obvious Easter egg. And the police officer asks her, oh, is there a groom in there waiting? And Mabel looks at her like, well, why does it have to be a groom? And the police officer looks a little offended, as in like, oh, I should not have thought that. I am so sorry. And she allows him right in. They rush into the room just as the hearing probably is about to be started. And Oliver looks to Loretta and tells her, like, you can't plead guilty. And also, you look great in orange. And she compliments him on his suit. So, like, they're still flirting. There's still those feelings. Oliver goes on to tell her, we know who killed Ben. And, you know, we know why you confessed to save Dickie. And they, you know, he tells her, we know he didn't do it. And, you know, do you trust me? And, you know, Loretta trusts him, but she's already gone too far down this road. And she asks him, well, who do you think did it? And right as Oliver is about to possibly say who did it, Mabel alerts him. And she kind of, you know, hits him and points into that direction. Donna is there in the courtroom in like the audience area. I don't know what you call that. And she stands up and gives him a look. And Oliver goes, fuckity fuck. And then the credits roll. That's the end of the episode. I do think Donna is guilty in attempting to poison Ben. I don't know how he would have lived between. Maybe it wasn't enough. And maybe because he's so used to being on meth, it stopped his heart and something happened and he came back alive. I'm sure that'll get explained in the next episode. They are really good at almost tying up all the major storylines that are needed. But I think when it came to the push of Ben down the elevator shaft, I want to say Cliff found out that his mother did it. And because they're so close and like have that weird, creepy, incestual mother-son love, I think he pushed Ben down the shaft kind of to protect one another. Or maybe if you go to jail, I too will go to jail. You know, you with attempt of murder and me with murder, like, will be separated but together in this crime. That's my thought on it. Maybe out of nowhere it could be Loretta. I don't think so. And then after rewatching the episode and seeing Ben kind of snort and be a little jealous of Dickie and Loretta's relationship, for some reason, I have a feeling maybe Ben is Loretta's adopted son and Dickie isn't, possibly, or that could be a possible ending. I don't know. But there is still no announcement if there is going to be a fourth season. The writer strike has ended and this contract is good for another 2 years. So I would say within the next week. I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow we heard something and they posted something that, you know, we're coming back for another season. Because I feel like they could do one more good fourth season, wrap up the storylines, put a nice bow in it, and then be done with the show. Or maybe this third season, they did both, as in there's a cliffhanger for a fourth season, yet it was all wrapped up. If this was the series finale, but nowhere have I read that this is the series finale, which makes me think there will be a fourth season, because I would not be surprised if Steve Martin and Jonathan Hoffman kind of mapped out season 1, 2, 3 and a possible fourth, and, you know, who they wanted to be the murder victim, who was going to be the killer, and certain things they wanted to happen. And then they had other writers come in and help them make it cohesive. I would not be surprised with that in the least. So I wouldn't be surprised within the next week we find something out whether or not this is it, or there is at least one more season. Steve has said this is probably his last acting gig, and I'm assuming he means full-time acting gig. I wouldn't be surprised if he did a couple of guest spots here and there. So I could see him wanting to go out with a literal bang and maybe have a fourth season just to, you know, end his career on a high note. But that's all for now. I'm so excited for Tuesday's episode. I'm going to try really hard to have the notes and the episode released by like Thursday of next week. That is my goal. I'm so excited. I'm also so sad that the season is coming to an end. And if you could follow the show on Instagram, it's something.about.podcast. And if you could rate, like, and review wherever it is you listen to podcasts. Love all of you. Bye.